market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are actually here. After, what did it take, 18 years to get this thing going? Appreciate everybody's patience. This is, of course, Tom Woods, and here we are on the inaugural episode. 18 years later, my thanks to everybody who made this possible, everybody who contributed to make it possible. My thanks to Peter Schiff, to Tom Elliott, the whole Schiff Radio team who's responsible for this, AJ Slyke, my producer, all you guys who are so generous with me and who listen in, and I sure appreciate that. Before we get started, though, talking about who we're having on as our guest, I think you guys know we're having Michael Bolden on as our guest. Let me also note, I'm not doing calls this week. All right, so calls are just right out. And the reason for that is that I just consider it a miracle that I'm on the air at all. Like, I have to take baby steps here, got to get my feet wet a little bit. So call ixnay on the calls for now. But by next week, we'll be super sophisticated and ready to do some calls. All right, so now that I think I'm on the air, I just went over and told the Facebook people that I'm on the air. If you're not following me on Facebook, go to tomwoodsradio.com and click like over there. But now that I feel confident enough that the thing is running, I figured I would go ahead and tell them. But before we bring our guest on, I first want to just tell you what we're going to do on this show, because we're going to have some fun on this show. What I want to do is basically keep you guys informed and help you guys learn new things while still being entertaining. And half the time, I'm going to be learning right along with you guys. There are a lot of topics that are interesting to me that we should all know more about, and that I myself feel I should know about. Like, I don't want to just have guests on who are just going to repeat what I would already be saying to you. I want to learn stuff. So, for example, next week, we're going to have Larry Pratt on from Gun Owners of America. And the reason we're having Larry Pratt on is because people are interested in gun issues, but also because I'm going to admit this now to all you guys listening to the first show. I don't know that much about guns. I'll be honest with you. Okay, I just don't. I should, and I don't. So I figure I'll have the world's expert on and come ask us, be able to ask him questions, get the gist of it, right? And I know if you're in the liberty movement, you're too ashamed to tell the world that you don't know as much about guns as you feel you should. So this is the sort of thing we'll do from time to time. So I have a show where we're just going to start from the ground up, right? We're just going to teach it to you. Or we're talking about the Fed. We're not going to assume that everybody is a PhD economist. What's the Fed doing and why is it wrong in normal English? That's the kind of thing I want to do so that people who believe in the freedom message will understand it better, be able to defend it better, and we'll do it with guests that we enjoy talking to, we enjoy hearing from. So current events, interesting and important topics. Half the time, I'm going to be learning just as much as you are. And the great thing about being the host is you can ask experts questions and not feel guilty. Not feel guilty asking, because, you know, hey, they're on a show. They're getting publicity. That's how, when I first was looking into that primal blueprint way of eating, we had Mark Sisson on the Peter Schiff Show when I was guest hosting. The reason I did that is that my wife and I had a lot of questions we wanted to ask him. And I figure if I'm just some schmo who asks him out of the blue, he's going to feel kind of put upon. But if I have him on the show, I can ask him anything I want. Also, if there's some article that's going around Facebook and you just don't know how to answer it, and it's driving you crazy because all your friends are telling you this refutes everything you believe in and you don't quite know what to do about it, well, send it along to us and we'll do it on the air. And these days, I am just absolutely overwhelmed with work because of this Ron Paul homeschool program that I'm making videos for, ronpaulhomeschool.com. So I don't unfortunately have the blogging time that I used to. But if I'm sitting here on the air for a half hour and I got an article in front of me, man, that'd be fun. I have no problem going through that baby. So we'll do that. Tell me what's the annoying article of this week that's going around the internet. And if I don't feel like I'm good enough to answer that one, we'll bring somebody else on. We'll do it together. We'll have some fun. Now, the first week, I've got several people coming on the program who are just people I admire. And these are people, well, let's say, for example, like today, Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center. I admire him because he starts from nothing, starts this unbelievably successful organization from nothing, no help from anybody, nothing, just does it. That's incredible to me. How does he have a nationwide organization with state chapters, and the New York Times feels like it has to talk to him constantly? You know, what's the deal here? Like, how does somebody do something like that? So he's gonna explain that to us. Or Lou Rockwell, for example. How do you start something like the Mises Institute? Again, from nothing. You don't have any billionaire donor. How do you just suddenly do that? You got me. I don't know. And that's why I want to have these folks on to talk to us. Now, in this first week of the show, one other thing I'm going to tell you guys. You guys know about my big project that I work on, libertyclassroom.com, right? So libertyclassroom.com, the idea of it is you sign up for it, and we've got a whole bunch of different courses, but they're taught by people you feel like you can actually trust. They're taught by me. I hope you can trust me. If you're listening in, I hope you can trust me. So taught by me and other people I trust, Austrian economists, things like that. And you can listen to it anytime you want to, right? You can listen in your car. You can be jogging and listening. You can watch it on your computer screen. You can watch it on your iPad. Whatever you want to do, you can do. And if you have any questions, you can ask me anything you want. You can ask our faculty anything you want for a year. When you look at what's available on this thing, you're going to feel like a kid in a candy store. And so in this first week right here, I'm making an offer that I've never made before and I will never make again. This is it. You are never going to hear me say this as long as I live right here. This week, to celebrate the opening of the show, just these first five shows, I'm going to be promoting this one offer. I'm taking 60% off. So that's more than half the subscription price. 60% off with coupon code SHOW. In all caps, coupon code SHOW. Great. So head on over there. And then after this week, if you say to me, hey, Woods, I didn't have time. I didn't get to it. I didn't have time to sign up for your unbelievable program. Then I'm going to say to you, I'm sorry, you're obviously some kind of a raving lunatic. I never made any such offer. And that'll be it. That'll be it. That's the end of it. All right. Finally, if you want to help out the show, do not send me money. I appreciate that. That's very, very sweet of you guys to think of me in that way, but don't send money. But if you do want to help out the show with our incidental expenses and keep the lights on, best thing to do is go to tomwoodsradio.com and enter Amazon through there. And at no cost to you, you guys can help us out. And then finally, and this should just about do it. I just want to let you guys know where I'm going to be in the near future. And that is, first of all, I'm going to be October 11th in Las Vegas at the Sovereign Society Total Wealth Symposium. October 19th, I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina for Nullify Now, which is going to be great, by the way, because I think a zillion people have already RSVP'd on Facebook, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, by the way. So make sure and show up. November 20th, I've got two events. I've got St. Louis University Law School early in the day, and then still early-ish in the day, Lindenwood University. So the first one's in St. Louis, the second one in St. Charles. I'm also scheduling an event for Miami University in Ohio somewhere, sometime in November. And then, let's see, a couple of law schools coming up, one in Spokane and another somewhere around Idaho. So that's what I'm going to be doing between now and the end of the year. So I hope you guys can come out and see me. All right, that should do it. So as I say, unfortunately, no calls just because I am getting my feet wet on here and we want to see how this works. So I want to double check here. Let me see if Let me see who I have here with me. Do I have Michael Bolden yet?
You sure do, Tom.
All right, Mike. I didn't recognize your number. What are you? You're killing me here. I didn't recognize you.
I'm coming in incognito. Wanted to scare you. Think there was already a caller. but let's get to it. This is exciting.
Right,
this is awesome. The maiden voyage. Everything's working. Everything sounds awesome. The lineup of guests. I mean, the fact. No, other than me, Ben Swan and Lou Rockwell. I mean, this is really cool. Thanks for having me on.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be great. Yeah. I mean, you and then Ben Swan. And then I'm hoping to have Ian Anderson on Wednesday, and then Lou Rockwell. It's just terrific. So anyway, it's so wonderful of you to join me, because a lot of people, I think, figured, well, he'll have Ron Paul on his first show. And we all love Ron Paul, and I want to have him on as soon as I can.
You can't test the show out with Ron Paul.
No,
but me,
right,
you definitely can.
Right. What if the audio drops out, right? Like, what? You know, what if,
no,
whatever, right? What if smoke is coming out of my mixer, right? I can't have that happen. So I figure, let's get a sucker like Bolden on the show.
Bolden will do it. Whenever you want to test something out, call Bolden.
All right, so we're talking to Michael Bolden, executive director and the founder of the 10th Amendment Center, which you can visit at 10thamendmentcenter.com. First of all, you started this thing during the second term of George W. Bush, when nobody cares about the 10th Amendment, right? George W. Bush is the great conservative leader everybody's been waiting for. So why did you do it?
Well, I don't – you know, I started out as an anti-war activist that worked with the hard left – back in the day that the Iraq war started in 2003, I was out marching with the communists, and I just started recognizing over time that, you know, no matter how much protesting you do, these people don't listen. And then on top of it, the left that I was part of personally, they weren't really anti-war. They were anti-Bush and pro-other stuff. So I just learned over time. I read a lot of Harry Brown and listened to his radio show back over a number of years. I just kind of slowly developed this understanding, which I'm still developing over time, that virtually everything the government does, they either A, shouldn't be doing, or even when they should do it, they do a really awful job. And I thought this whole 10th Amendment thing was a pretty good line in the sand, and I was going to just start blogging about it. So I registered the domain back in mid-2006 during the great conservative, as you mentioned, George Bush's reign. And I just thought that if I could reach a few people with this message that what they're doing, they're not supposed to be doing, I would have done something good. But over time, it got to the point where I was still working a part-time job, but getting up at four in the morning to manage the website and then go to work and then come back home and run it all at night. And eventually it just kept growing and growing. I think people realize that this is a pretty sound message. And now today, I mean, you get to the point where what do people like the New York Times, Mark Levin, Chicago Tribune, LA Times, the Cato Institute, Huffington Post, Think Progress, Heritage, all these establishment organizations, individual media types, they all absolutely hate this nullification idea. And that tells me that we're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, it's amazing that basically the big guns are all out at you. I mean, not at me. It used to be me because I wrote the book on nullification. But then, you know, then people forget about books. You've got this website that's updated all the time. You're having events all the time. You're traveling everywhere. So you're really the target now. So you've taken some of the pressure off me, to be honest with you. But I mean, how did you go? I mean, you recently just passed. I mean, now you're at what, 106,000 Facebook likes? Like, how do you go from a guy in his apartment to a guy who's still
I'm
in his
still
apartment?
Still in that apartment.
Yeah, right.
Still in that apartment.
But he's still in that apartment, and he with state chapters all over the place who are doing things you don't even know about, and who and you're getting calls from the New York Times for comment constantly. And it, you know, people say, well, we're talking to Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center, and they get the sense that the 10th Amendment Center is this huge building with like a Greek temple facade, and you know, and it's your apartment. Like, how did you, like, how the heck does somebody do this?
Well, it's about dedication, believing in something. I think the fact that I started this out with $30 and an $11 an hour part-time job means that if you believe in something and stick to it, just like the individual who started the recall petition, one of them recently commented on our website, hey, we're all learning that one person who really believes in something can actually accomplish a great deal. Not everybody's going to, you know, have an idea and turn it into a movement that's approved by 52% of mainstream voters like nullification is today. But, you know, each of us in our own sphere can certainly accomplish a great deal, provided we say, you know what, maybe I'll turn off this piece of entertainment. Keep a little bit because, I mean, anybody who watches my Facebook page knows that I want to live free by trying to enjoy what the world has to offer, but balance that with putting a lot of energy towards resistance to the state, and I mean the state, not necessarily the states, but government power. And if you have a really good balance, you can keep yourself sane and work really hard. One person can accomplish much. I mean, I've created a movement in many ways by working hard and having great people around me working on the same thing. And these people who have tens of millions of dollars in their Washington, D.C. Beltway organization, they buy buildings. So that's why they're attacking us, even though we have nothing financially compared to them, because we work together for truth. And I think that shows how powerful these things are.
Now, it is true. I am a Facebook friend of yours, so I do see your photos and all the fun things you do. But I draw the line at the kale juice. I mean, now, come on. I mean, you want
I'm
going to
have
life.
I don't know if you saw this morning, but I had to do some training being the first guest on the show. I went for a 35-minute jog, came back, had some coconut water. We're doing this interview, then I'll load up on kale cucumber.
That should do it. All right, let's talk about Mark Levin, though, because you made reference to him a minute ago. And, you know, every time you talk about Mark Levin, people will say, they'll either say, leave Mark Levin alone. He's a good patriot. He's on your side. Yeah, a lot of people on my side are calling me names and smearing me in front of millions of people. Sure, he's my best friend. Or other times people will say, well, who cares about Mark Levin? You know, talk about something substantive. But this is substantive. A guy with that size audience who, in effect, is attacking all people who support nullification as kooks, that's newsworthy. You have to talk about that. But let's actually focus, though, on apparently you read his book, The Liberty Amendments. And I know one of his proposed – oh, you haven't?
I haven't read it. No, I'm not going to.
But are you familiar – but you wrote a bit –
yeah, yeah,
with
I
what
know what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
All right, so what do you think? I mean, for example, one of his proposals, from the way I understand it, is that there'd be a constitutional amendment that would allow three-quarters of the states to invalidate a federal law. Now, the Gutzman version is two-thirds. I would say one state, but of course, you know, maybe not everybody agrees with me. But, I mean, do you think there's any merit whatsoever in Levin's approach, leaving aside what a jerk he is and how he acts, he's not a gentleman and he acts like a three-year-old. Like we all, everybody with a brain knows that about the guy. But in terms of his ideas, do you think there's any merit to them at all? Are they a good supplement to nullification, or are they a distraction? Or is there any likelihood that they be implemented?
Well, okay. So the way I first back up, which I think is interesting, is Southern Poverty Law Center, MSNBC, and Maddow call nullification a crazy right-wing movement. I'm listed as one of the 30 leaders of the radical right by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And then you have people like Levin, who gets on the air last week, who says the nullification movement is a radical left-wing movement being pushed by kooks. So it's fascinating how they try to polarize these things. Well, nullification, as you know, Tom, is used by both the left and the right. When you're nullifying federal drug laws on marijuana, like they've done here in California since 1996, or more recently in Colorado and Washington State, that's generally supported by those on the left, along with libertarians. And then when you're trying to nullify federal gun laws, like laws passed in Alaska and Kansas, you're generally coming from the political right and libertarians. So what's fascinating is that libertarians can actually cross the spectrum and work on this on all sides, but the mass is either left or right, and it really can't be pinned down to one side or the other. And I think that's part of why these people freak out, because they really can't put us into a box. When they attack what I do as being lefty, and I'm talking about being anti-war and opposing the drug war, it makes their heads explode, and vice versa. Now, the Article 5 is certainly a legitimate process, and when people like Kevin Gutzman and Mike Church are promoting it, I think there's something very legitimate to it. Obviously, it's part of the Constitution. That in itself, I have to make clear, running a constitutional organization, the word constitutional does not mean the word good. These are not interchangeable. So it is constitutional for Congress to declare war, for example, on Syria, even though they aren't necessarily considering that. They're considering a transfer of war declaring powers to the executive, or that was the proposal. They can do that, but just because it's constitutional doesn't mean, A, it's a good idea, and B, you should go along with this. James Madison in Federalist No. 46, that was very specific about saying that, you know, in the states you should refuse to cooperate with officers of the union, resist federal actions, whether they're either constitutional and what he called, or what he said was unwarrantable measures, which are unconstitutional, or warrantable but just unpopular. So they can do something that's, quote, constitutional but just bad policy, and this is still a very important natural right of resistance to these people. Now, as far as Article 5, obviously it's part of the Constitution. It's, I don't, you know, it's hard for me to say that proposals that would limit federal power are bad. So a proposal to say that, okay, there's going to be another check on federal power via two-thirds of the states, like Kevin says, or three-quarters. I don't think that's necessarily a bad proposal. Whether I agree that we can find enough states to go along with something like this rather than maybe repealing the Second Amendment or something like that, I don't know if it's going to play out like that. Who knows how anything's going to play out? But what I do like to do is, and I follow Anthony Gregory's great advice on this, is I don't want to necessarily poo-poo anyone's idea who wants to resist government power. I want to encourage them and maybe lead by example that if I believe my way is a better way, then I need to prove it to them. And that's what I'm working hard to do every single day, to prove that resistance nullification is really the best path, because I believe that you need to be able to be free whether three-quarters of the states agree with you or not.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to think about it. Now, let me just make sure everybody knows. I mean, what you and I are in this sort of world where we throw around lingo like Article 5. I just want to make sure everybody understands. Article 5 refers to the process of amending the Constitution, and specifically we're talking about the calling of a constitutional convention. That's what's being proposed by Mark Levin. So when we say Article 5 or I'm a fiver, I think now people are saying I'm a fiver. Instead of a 10, I'm a fiver. I want an Article 5 convention call. Now, what do you say, though? I deal a lot with libertarians, being one myself, who say, well, look, nullification is, you know, maybe it's okay as far as it goes, but you're kind of implying that the states are perfectly okay, that we need to have the states resist the federal government. But the states are all screwed up, too, and I don't particularly like the states, and the states can get away with a lot of rotten things, too, and so it's not always the federal government that's at fault. So are you, by engaging in nullification, are you implicitly endorsing or supporting or cheering on the states?
Well, I cheer on anybody resisting federal power. So when Vladimir Putin, who is a KGB pig, evil criminal, is standing up against Washington, D.C., he's, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And obviously the state of California is my enemy. But sometimes the state of California, for example, in working to pass a bill, two bills, actually, that are sitting on Governor Moonbeam's desk. There's a bill to reject Common Core federal standards over education, and another one to start the process of resisting NDAA, indefinite detention. Yeah, with a lot of pressure, you can get some really bad guys who all they care about is their political standing to do decent things. Now, that does not endorse the power of the state of California or any other state. And in fact, nullification, if we're using the 10th Amendment Center definition, which is any act or set of actions which has as its end result a particular law being rendered null and void or simply unenforceable, you can go all the way down to individuals. And when I spoke at Porkfest just this year, I spoke about how the, you know, nullification can really just be an act of individual defiance. And when enough people do this and they can't get their laws moving forward, the end result is the same, and this is all good stuff. So some people will only work with states. Some people will only work with communities. Some people will do their own individual action, and they're all pieces to a big, important puzzle. The number one most evil government that I'm aware of on the face of the earth is these days, I mean, North Korea is pretty bad, but it sure seems like Washington, D.C. is violating more people's rights around the world than anyone, and let's try to knock them off their high horse, and I think nullification is the path to do that.
Now, we noted that a lot of the bad guys get in touch with you or in the form of attacks and smears and name-calling and so on and so forth. But what about the good guys? I mean, are state legislators actively seeking you guys out for assistance or seminars or model legislation or what? Like, how does that work?
Well, we have tons of model legislation, and sometimes we do have state legislators, but it's mostly people in the grassroots from across the political spectrum. We've been meeting a lot of – I personally met a lot of marijuana dispensary owners recently, and it's fascinating to learn how this whole process works and see how the federal government really coerces states to participate in oppressing people. So, for example, when the DEA raids a dispensary here in Southern California, it's generally one or two federal agents with 10 or 15 local people. The local people come in, they steal the money from the register, the dispensary opens in 6 to 24 hours, and there you go again. It's Al Capone. So one of the great ways to reduce federal power is to start pushing back and say, we're not going to comply with them. So, yeah, we have good guys that reach out to us, people that want to create businesses that defy these laws. We have legislators that reach out to us, but it's mostly the grassroots and the pressure on politicians, because there aren't too many decent people who are politicians. So it's really about creating pressure on those in office, those that might be sitting on the fence, and pushing them to take a good stance. Not in D.C., though, because those people never do anything right.
Michael, we have only a few minutes left. I want to ask you, what is your customary answer when people say the states are never going to have the political will to engage in nullification to any extent because they're all on the federal dole, right? They're all getting federal money. They don't want to jeopardize that. How do you answer that objection?
One word, weed. Because there's now 21 states who have been pushed and coerced and pressured into following federal so-called laws prohibiting marijuana, but there's 21 states that are refusing to comply with it. And just in the last 2 weeks, Eric Holder, that criminal in the DOJ, had to announce that they're having to back off. And it's not because they somehow love states' rights over marijuana. That's an absolute lie that some people on the far right are actually putting out there. The fact of the matter is the Obama administration has tried to enforce federal laws prohibiting marijuana, consumption, sale, etc., more than any president in history. But when 21 states and people all across the country stand up and say no, it doesn't matter how much they try to enforce, they're going to get pushed back in the bottle.
How do people find out more about the 10th Amendment Center?
10thAmendmentCenter.com. We update every single day with all kinds of juicy stuff. We have a newsletter, general information, our Facebook page over at facebook.com/10thAmendmentCenter. Just do a Google search. We're all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, that I don't know how it amazes. I mean, first of all, you guys should learn something about how to run a Facebook page. If you want to know how to run a Facebook page in a way that gets you a lot of likes, don't spend money to get likes. Watch what Michael Bolden does, because he actually knows social media really well. So he knows exactly what kind of posts are going to get the most exposure, the most shares, which in turn gets you the likes. So don't be blowing your hard-earned cash. Just for free, be like Michael Bolden by going over to the Facebook page at facebook.com/10thAmendmentCenter. Michael Bolden, you were the first guest ever on the show. And of course, it flew by, but that was because I was yapping
too long. I can't believe it's over.
Probably because I wasn't sure that was you, and I thought, oh, I knew there was one last thing on my checklist to make sure the show was ready. I need to make sure. How do I tell if it's Bolden or not? All right. Anyway, Michael, I hope to see you. I'm hearing a rumor that maybe we're not sure if we're going to see you in Raleigh, North Carolina on October 19th. But that's got to be a vicious, vicious rumor. I don't believe that for a second. I'm looking forward to seeing you and Robert Scott Bell and all my favorite people in the world in Raleigh on October 19th. And now I've put you on the spot on the air, and now we got to go, and you don't have time to respond. So, Michael Bolden, thanks for being with us.
All publicity is good publicity. Thank you so much for having me on, Tom. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, Michael Bolden, everybody, that is it. So that's it for us today. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, remember, this week only at libertyclassroom.com, this week only, 60% off with coupon code SHOW in all caps to celebrate the starting of the show. How about that? So don't forget, libertyclassroom.com, ronpaulhomeschool.com, and follow me on Facebook. I'm not on it as Tom Woods. I'm on it as Thomas E. Woods, Jr. Ugh. So just go to tomwoodsradio.com, click on like. We'll see you tomorrow with Ben Swan.
Tom Woods Show.